It's part of my whole philosophy that life is a fight. You know, I'm told I need to relax a bit, but it just, for me, the last couple of years and the issues we've had with at a political level as well, you know, it's a battle. All of life and all of progress and all of growth comes through stress and strain and battle. The boxing is a beautiful reflection of that. It's a discipline which I think can train you for the bigger fight.
This week's guest is an amazing man who has been doing great things on the other side of the world for over 3 decades now. He's a priest, but he also likes to punch people in the face. Yes, we're going to be hearing from Father Dave Smith, who is a man of God, but also a professional boxer. Fighting Father Dave, as he is well known where he's based in Sydney, Australia, this guy is a spiritual warrior in all senses of the term. When he became parish priest of a place called Dulwich Hill, the region was rife with drug addiction and crime, and Father Dave decided to do something about it. He opened up a boxing gym in the community and he started taking in drug addicts, criminals and young people who were going off the rails. And by getting them hooked on fitness and boxing, he helped countless young men to turn their lives around. Father Dave's Fight Club ran for more than 20 years, and during that time he was named Citizen of the Year twice. He was nominated Australian of the Year 3 times. He set a Guinness World Record. He even earned his 6th degree black belt. Father Dave also delivered a TEDx talk on why youth boxing can actually help reduce violence. And he also published 2 books, Sex, the Ring and the Eucharist and Christians and Muslims Can Be Friends. Listen, I could go on all day here. But let me point out that Father Dave served with the Anglican Church and has been married and has 4 children. So in this interview, he talks about why he became involved in boxing and why the sport has literally been a godsend for him and the people he works with. He also talks about why boxing helps men deal with their issues. He also delves into the boxing skills you learn that help you deal with what he calls the bigger fight. And Father Dave then opens up about how life hit him hardest 3 years ago when the church actually kicked him out after his marriage broke down. He effectively ended up homeless and he had to struggle to provide for him and his young daughter. Now, I've just got to warn you that the sound quality isn't the greatest in some parts of the interview because the internet connection was poor. But listen, I'm sure that Dave's story is going to make up for that. So enjoy. Dave, great to chat with you today. Really looking forward to this one. So tell me, what came first, priesthood or punching people in the face?
Yeah, it's a good question, brother. I mean, truth is I had a bit of a rough, a difficult childhood. I was a bit rough. And, you know, I learned to fight because I had to learn to fight, not because as a sport initially, you know. But, yeah, after my sort of religious conversion and vocation, yeah, I found myself always, I never worked with a kid who was worse than I am. And that's, I've worked with a lot of kids. But I figure I've never worked with anybody who was any worse than I was when I was that age. Mind you, there just wasn't the drugs around when I was a teenager as there was 10 years later, 20 years later. It shifted enormously, particularly in the area where I was parish priest, which was like the heroin capital of the inner west of Sydney. So that's when I got back into the fighting and it became a tool for sort of connecting with the kids. I don't know which came first. I guess the fighting came first, but I put that to one side, you know, for many years. And then I came back to it as a way of connecting with other people who are on the edge. And also I had my first marriage breakdown back in the early 90s too, and I found that the fight training was very therapeutic, the combination of fighting and praying, and, you know, it was a discipline that I found very helpful, and I figured, you know, we could use that similarly for the people we wanted to work with. So, yeah, I mean, look, a fight club is like a magnet for guys with ego problems too. You know, people turn up because they need to know how to fight. if they got their act together, they don't turn up to the boxing club, you know, they probably play chess or something, I don't know. So the sort of people we were attracting was always those guys on the underside. And then we were, as I say, our area was the heroin capital of the inner west for many years.
Yeah. So the area you were in was called Dulwich Hill, and basically the heroin addiction and the crime, you saw that as being the main issue in the community then. You personally were using boxing as a way of finding self-discipline, keeping yourself on the straight and narrow. It had also always been good for you, I suppose, mentally, physically, spiritually. Did you then see that as being a great answer to the community's problems?
Yeah, and look, the nature of our church there was we were, you say, land rich and cash poor. We didn't have any money, but we had this big premises which had been left to us by the, you know, the forefathers and foremothers. So we just opened up the hall as an open space for the kids and hung up a few punching bags in there and put some weights in there. And people started coming pushing weights and punching the bags. And we got out, found some wrestling mats and put that down. And then we, you know, started teaching kids to wrestle and to box. And it just sort of took off from there. Yeah, we had space, you know, so we decided let's open that space up for the kids. And we had a little bit of money left. We redeveloped the hall enough to put in a kitchen and make it a sort of space where they could hang. And we ran that youth drop in then for more than 20 years.
Yeah. What was the kind of reaction you got from the community? And I suppose I'd imagine there was a huge amount of media interest because it's the last thing you'd expect a priest to be doing is involved in boxing.
Maybe. Interesting. We got a lot of support from the community in terms of all the funding we got over the years from some local pubs and clubs, you know, who they loved what we were doing. See, what happened was, to give you the full story, ran out of money and I owed $1,000 to the youth worker. We just had one other guy working with me, giving him $1,000 a month. That's all we said we could afford. And he said he was good with that. And we ran out and I owed him $1,000. And I had the archdeacon, the assistant to the bishop in my office, literally wagging his finger at me saying, you know, you've got to close this down. You've got no money. And I'm saying, yeah, have a bit of faith. Something will happen. And while he's talking to me, quite literally, my boxing trainer comes and knocks on the door and says, Dave, you've been offered a pro fight. Do you want it? And I said, no, why would I want a pro fight? You know, I just fought for an amateur title in kickboxing. Why would I want a pro fight? He said, well, they're offering you $1,000. I said, I'll take it. So we got on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald with that story and got a lot of coverage. And I ended up raising like $50,000 through that fight. And that kept us going for another year. And that's when we sort of latched on to, well, hang on, we train up the kids, we put on shows, we get sponsorship by the local pubs and clubs. And that's how we funded ourselves for 20 years, basically. You know, so it became a self-funding work, which was great. So, you know, we work with the kids, we teach them to box, we put on a show, that gives us the funds to keep going. It was great.
Oh, tremendous. And what are some of the type of examples you could share with us? I suppose people you would take off the streets and the kind of amazing turnarounds you would see just by them applying themselves to the boxing club?
Yeah, look, we saw a lot of... The irony is... Probably most of our greatest success stories are people who just disappeared. Yeah, like I remember I had one guy who had 3 straight knockouts as a fighter, and he says, you know, I don't think God wants me to hurt people anymore. And I'm saying, yeah, he does. You know, you got to, basically a lot of, I think, interesting, the most successful people I had as fighters tended to be women. And I think that's because men take up fighting because they're trying to deal with their issues, you know. I had one guy, I remember, come and see me, you know. He said, oh, I hear you teach boxing. I said, yeah. Can I do a couple of rounds with you? A huge guy, Portuguese guy, really big, thick-set guy. Anyway, we get in the ring, and straight away I realize this guy's not interested in hurting me, thanks be to God. We do a couple of rounds together, and then he says, I hear you do Bible studies as well. I really need some help. The thing is, he got out of jail that day and his friends have said, you've got to go see Father Dave. But he didn't really have the courage to connect with me and tell me what his issues were until we'd had a bit of a rumble together. And I find that's the way with a lot of men, especially, you know what I mean? You built the trust by sort of getting a bit physical with each other, having a bit of a rumble. And then, you know, you can trust the other guy. Men tend to fight to deal with their issues. You know, it taps into something for us, I think, at a really primal level, you know. And often if we deal with our issues, we lose our interest in fighting. I've never lost my interest in fighting. Probably still haven't dealt with my issues. But yeah, a lot of the guys that saw success, that disappear. But when women take it up, it tends to be because they're really interested in the sport. And then they'd stick with it for the long term. But most of the men, they took it up for personal reasons. They conquered their demons and they moved on.
Yeah, and I can imagine some people on the outside would just find that a wee bit strange, the fight club being run by the father. But I loved a quote in one of your videos I'd watched last week, and it said that the idea that as Christians you're supposed to just be passive is ridiculous. I just thought that was great. Tell me more about that.
Oh, I mean, look, it's part of my whole philosophy that life is a fight. You know, I'm told I need to relax a bit, but for me, the last couple of years and the issues we've had with at a political level as well, it's a battle. And, you know, I think in a true sense, that battle begins when we're born. That, you know, they say babies who are born by cesarean, they get sick more often because the immunity issues. In other words, you've got to come out covered in crap, basically, if your body starts fighting the moment you're born, you know? And with our immunities have to kick in, we've got to start battling. It's the same with, you'd be very familiar, you know, how do you grow your body doing weights? Well, you stress it, you know, and you stress the muscle, and that's what helps you build it. So I think all of life and all of progress and all of growth comes through stress and strain and battle. The boxing is a beautiful reflection of that. It's a discipline which I think can train you for the bigger fight. And I think that's why we've had such a good success rate with, you know, I have a guy who comes in who's, you know, in all sorts of trouble with the police and the law and, you know, with drugs and things. And you train him up. If he'll get the stage where he's taking an amateur fight, you know, there's all those roles have gone. You know, he's going back to school now and, you know, not in trouble with the law anymore. You know, and I used to have all these parents come up and say, oh, amazing what you do. You know, I say, well, it's not me. You know, it's the boxing. It's the discipline of the art. And I think that's part of the thing is it teaches you to be proactive. We're used to being reacting all the time. You know, someone swears at you, you swear at them. You know, someone has a go at you, you have a go at them. Someone throws a punch at you. Well, in boxing, someone hits you square in the nose. Don't take it personal and don't hit back. Think about it. Don't stand there. Move a little to the side. You know, we say boxing is like chess with blood, you know, and you've got to get it beyond that stage of just sort of wanting to hit back. And you've got to learn to get your emotions under control. And when you're in pain, you've got to learn to control that and not be controlled by your pain. And these are the same key things that addicted people are dealing with. I always remember I had one friend who was an addict, and I said, you know, John, you're in your 30s now. You're still using the hit can't be that good, you know. And this is when I was early in the game, and he said to me, Dave, he said, it's not that. He said, mate, I just don't know how else to deal with the pain. And I realized after that's always the case. It's always just a way of dealing with the pain. And I think when you learn to be proactive, when you learn to feel the pain, even just of a simple punch in the nose and not be controlled by that, you're training to take control of your emotions and to become proactive and to give structure and direction to your own life. So, yeah, I think it's no coincidence, but the time we've got a guy disciplined and ready for a fight, he's not doing drugs anymore. He's not in trouble with the law. And I say guys because it is mainly guys who are attracted to the fight game, but it's also mainly the guys here, certainly, who are doing the drugs, the guys who are doing the crime and the guys who are committing suicide. You know, I've got three daughters, and I wish I had more of a gift for working with girls on the edge, but I figure God's called somebody else to do that.
Brilliant. And I suppose you could see it as the world is like a big boxing ring because we're always getting a bloody nose with all the stuff that life throws at us.
100%. 100%. Boxing is very close to life, I think, you know, because if you just stand there trying to smash back, you don't cope. You know, you've got to be smart. You've got to be able to take the hits. You've got to be able to move and plan your response. And I know all the martial arts used to speak about the water flow principle and this soft against hard, hard against soft. Nothing embodies it better than boxing. You know, someone throws all their energy at you and you just try and slip just an inch. make the miss. You try to relax. You try not to get overwhelmed. And you wait and you position yourself. You know, it's boxing is all of life for me.
It was at this point in the conversation where I lost Dave due to the crappy internet connection. And I was gutted because there were a few other important points I wanted to chat to him about. And I wasn't too hopeful of us resuming the chat because he had actually logged on around midnight in Sydney and he had been at boxing training earlier on in the night, so I was guessing that he'd be wanting to get to his bed. But we managed to get online again, and one of the first things I spoke to him about was setting a new Guinness World Record back in 2011. That's when he boxed continuously for 8 hours. I think it was 123 minute rounds he did. And then we spoke about one of the lowest points in his life when his marriage fell apart and then the church kicked him out. That was back in 2020. So let's dive into all of that stuff now.
Yeah, I still hold the record for the greatest number of opponents. I think the other guys who did it just had a handful of opponents doing lots of rounds. I did 66 different opponents. I mean, I was taking people coming in off the street and signing up. I'll have a go at him, you know. And I got some crazies in there trying to knock me flat, you know. But I also had a number of world champions in there who were friends, you know, who came. So, yeah, they weren't the ones that worried me. It was the kids off the street who were thinking they're going to make a name for themselves by knocking me out. I don't think I only did half a dozen rounds tonight, but that's because I ran out of opponents. They get tired.
You've obviously helped a lot of young men get through some difficult times in their lives. And I know you went through quite a rough period around 2020 when your marriage had broken down and the church then insisted that you either make things work or they were kicking you out. So can you please talk us through that and how you managed to overcome that?
Yeah, well, look, you know, have I really overcome it? I don't know. I mean, I'm still dealing with that to some extent, but I feel like, you know, I lost my community, but the work goes on, you know. So I feel like God's given me a new community, and I had friends in the Muslim community who really stood by me, which was not what I expected. And, you know, one Muslim family who's given me this flat, which where myself and my daughter now live at a below market rent, which is otherwise we wouldn't be able to live in this area anymore. So I'm very thankful for that. And we've restarted the fight club now. And yeah, it's great to see that starting to build up again. You know, we used to have all the kids of the area coming to us, and that they just, we don't have a facility like that now, but I'm still working with more with adults at risk now than to be the ones who are coming, but they're a wonderful bunch. We trained hard tonight. And I'm still running the campsite out in the bush, and I'm doing my church thing now. We're trying to do a Sunday Eucharist each week online, SundayEucharist.com, and building a bit of community there. And yeah, look, I'd be lying if I said, you know, I dealt with all of that at an emotional level. But again, you know, the fighting is it's a way of life. You get knocked down, you get up again, and you keep going. You know, but it's not like in traditional martial arts fights, you score a hit and you stop and you step back and you battle each other or something. You know, boxing just goes on till what someone's on the canvas. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm on the ropes, but I'm not on the canvas yet.
I love it. I love it. And I suppose, obviously, you're not preaching under the umbrella of the Anglican Church anymore, but I love that you're still doing God's work just your own way now.
I guess that's it. You know, look, I'm still a priest in good standing with the Anglican diocese. And I could, I've been told I could get a job in another diocese outside of Sydney. But, you know, I've got a teenage daughter. I've got a, you know, she's got a school, and I'm not going to move her away from a school or from my mum or from a friend. So yeah, I'm sticking that out where I am for the moment and doing what I feel called to do as best I can.
Let's talk about your books. You've written two books. The first one was titled Sex, the Ring and the Eucharist. And then the second, Christians and Muslims Can Be Friends. Give me an overview of both books and the inspiration behind them.
in a sense, the first book was about my first 15 years in the parish, and the second book was from my second 15 years. And really, those first 15 years, we were very much the heroin capital of the inner west of Sydney. And it was just a war zone. You know, we had kids dying all the time. I'm sorry, it's not no joking matter, but it was like every year we'd have, because we were right next to the school, and we'd have, you know, kids come in from the school and other kids. And every year, some of those kids would be dead by the end of the year, and some would be in jail, and others would be doing good. And the kids who were boxing with us tended to be the ones who were doing good. You know, not the only ones, but I don't want to pretend we're the only force that was helping these kids. But we saw a lot of our kids die too. You know, overdose, suicide, car accidents, crime, all that stuff. The first book was those experiences, and a lot of them were quite funny, believe it or not. So the book's meant to be, humorous at points. Some of the things that happened were ridiculous. I won't go into any of the stories now, I don't think, but you meet some extraordinary people in that, you know, not just the kids, but also career criminals, some Godfather type figures and all sorts of people we got connected with. So yeah, that was the first book. A lot of my energies went into sort of building connections with other alienated groups in the community, like the Muslim community, particularly after 9/11 and the whole reality we had here in this country of a lot of anti-Muslim backlash, which I suspect is the same in Western countries around the world. It gave me the opportunity to get involved with some of the people in the Muslim community and try and sort of build community and work together on our common concerns, which, you know, particularly with the drug problems facing our youth. Yeah, I ended up close friends with a local sheikh and grew from there. And then we started the Boxes for Peace program in 2013, which we went into Syria the first time. It was very bad then. And I've run, 9 mission trips into Syria with taking teams of boxers in there, boxing with kids. And we ran a Boxing for Life program too, trying to integrate Christian and Muslim kids together just through sport. And so, yeah, the tool we were originally using, the sort of focused on dealing with helping people deal with their drug problems, also turns out to have a wonderful role to play in, international peace work.
Great work. They sound like fantastic books. Going back to this podcast in general, Dave, it was just a no-brainer for me to get you on board. You've obviously got an amazing backstory. You're someone who keeps obviously very physically fit, and you do everything to look after yourself. So this podcast is all about self-development and looking after yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. What are your 3 key pieces of advice for someone to basically achieve all those things?
I guess I just look at it from a perspective of the 3 most important things for me. Obviously, my relationships are primary, aren't they? But I'm just thinking in terms of disciplines. You know, I have a discipline of prayer, which is connected with the breathing exercises I do. I've had the privilege of meeting Wim Hof a couple of times, who you probably heard of, the Iceman. And I do the sort of Wim Hof style breathing exercises every morning as part of my prayer routine. And I find that's become fundamental for me. That would be one, the breathing, the praying, the training, the boxing, the engagement, and the intense physical activity of that. You know, it's very intense. And it's a beautiful combination of, I think, aerobic and anaerobic fitness. And I guess I have my own techniques in there. I do a lot of Tabata style interval work on the bags and things like that. But yeah, so I guess the praying, breathing, the training, and I guess also be honest and say I take a very strict vitamin routine as well. So I'm careful, not just so much with diet, but I take high level vitamins B, C, and D, and I think that's made a big difference for me as well. You know, we're in a world at the moment which just gets very concerned about the spread of disease and things like that, and for good reason. And I think keeping immunities high and your system working well and supplementing that with good food and good vitamins, I guess would be the third. So I think I've mentioned about 20 things there, but I'm putting them under three headings, brother.
Well, call them prayer, training, and diet.
Prayer, training, and diet. For anyone listening, that's the key.
That's all from our chat with Father Dave. But if you want to learn more about him, his books, and all the great work he's doing, then visit his website, www.fatherdave.org.